All right. We are here for our NEPT Open Coaching. October 25th, 2018. We realized that we had too many of these calls on the calendar. For some reason, they have been every week since the beginning of the month. And it's like, maybe people are just getting tired of them. We don't have anything more. So the next one's going to be after Shine, which will be middle of November. So we have Madeline, do you see it? Have I shared it yet?
No.
All right, let me do this. And the reason I prefer to have them, we got to get that we have to make a note that we have to start using that other form just because it puts them into a Google Doc. And with this, I always have to go here and there and everywhere to try to figure them out when they're in my Dropbox. So can you see it now?
Yeah. Well, I can see, but I can't see that. Yeah. It's not a Genova thing.
No. This is somebody else's I'm trying to close.
Oh.
There we go.
There it is.
Oh, wait. It disappeared.
No, that's it.
So the entry, there was no background. So tell me about this person, a little bit about the background, what you want, what you're trying to accomplish, and what your questions are about this.
Okay. So he's a friend. I'm practicing the 30-day metabolic reset on him. Yep. He really wants to lose weight. He's very overweight.
Okay.
And he's been seeing this hormone doctor in town. It's called Low Country Male, and they've got him on a ton of testosterone, and you'll see that his testosterone levels are
through the roof,
and they're aware, and they're testing him every few weeks to get it down, and they're going to take him off if it doesn't go down, and his estrogen's super high. But I entered in his labs into this and saw major red flags with the prostate and the kidney.
Yeah.
And I was going to show him this tomorrow, but I'm nervous to just show him this. It looks scary and not have more to tell him because I don't know enough about this stuff to be able to.
Okay. And
so he's a hairdresser. So I.
Exposure to toxins, heavy metal toxicity.
And I've wondered about his toxic load with his weight. I think he has some insulin resistance and he started, I'm going to see some of his, glucose meter readings tomorrow, but for the first time. But I've suspected toxicity because of being a hairdresser and he used to have, some addiction problems and stuff. So he's had some body burden of that kind of stuff.
Right. Addiction drugs or addiction alcohol.
Both, mainly drugs. I mean, but he's clean now and has been for a few years.
Okay. So his liver, right? So, one thing I looked at when I looked at the kidney stuff is also hydration, right?
And it looks like a lot of the things on here, it looks like he was dehydrated when he did the labs.
Yeah.
Because it's mentioned several times throughout this thing.
Yep.
So I think he was dehydrated, but it's I don't know enough to understand the prostate part and the kidney part.
Okay. Let's go through. I usually, the last thing I look at is their interpretation. I usually look at the numbers, right?
Okay.
That's what I want to do. I'm going to shrink this a little bit. Okay. There. I can see it better. It was too big.
Now and I double checked because some of them are so out of range that I kept double checking. I have the original lab here that I can double check again.
Okay. Well, they're in here. So, health concerns. So there's a lot of stuff they're flagging. Is this the practitioner one? This is the practitioner.
Yeah.
Don't give them this one.
No, I won't.
Give them the patient one. And you can limit what he sees if you want. Don't want him to freak out. So you can choose the reports. Okay. So let's look. Glucose is fine. Hemoglobin A1C is 4.7. Now, when you have somebody who you suspect insulin resistance, you want to be thinking about if hemoglobin A1C is low, you want to look to see if they're having reactive hypoglycemia, like they're having big spikes and then big valleys.
Uh-huh.
That makes a difference, right? His glucose fasting is fine. Hemoglobin A1C is fine. It's actually optimal.
But his insulin was high. That you'll see somewhere.
Okay. Right. So what that's saying to me, if his insulin is high and his hemoglobin A1C is low, this guy's having major swings. And he's averaging out the hemoglobin A1C to be a good level, but he's having some major swings. His C-peptide is high. Usually we see low C-peptide. So what I want to do just really quickly is look at, open up my blood chem software because the reports used to be, maybe I'm mistaken, Lynn, but it used to be able to click in the report and it would click to that section that described the highs, lows. So I want to show you, Madeline, where you can look in the blood chem software.
If you look at it on it, you should be able to. Did that when in his webinar.
Say that again.
You can click right on the PDF and it'll.
It's not working.
No, on the name itself. That's what he was doing.
Oh, on the name. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, nope. It's taking me. Okay, here you go. An indicator for insulin production. But that's not taking me. That's taking me to the part of this report. But it's not taking me to, you know how they used to have.
Yeah.
If it's high, if it's low, what other things to look at. Yeah, so he's making a lot of insulin. Yeah, usually when I do C-peptide, it's because I'm concerned somebody's gone to the not making enough, right? Are they either type 1, a lot of, or they are a type 2 that's been, you know, worn out their pancreas. But this guy's making a lot of insulin.
He's quite overweight. And he's got bigger with doing the testosterone because he's got all the estrogen.
And you know what bugs me is when they just test blood levels of that stuff and they don't look at a Dutch test to see metabolites. He could be put himself as risk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm concerned.
And he's aromatasing. So even though his testosterone is high, he's converting a lot of it to estrogen. Although we don't know what he was doing before he started that, right?
Right.
And that's why I like to get a picture of
that. Well, I think he tried this testosterone to hope to try to lose weight, you know?
Oh, Lord.
And I don't know if he was also like having low libido or whatever, but.
Yeah. All right. So the C-peptide, that's what I thought. Let me go back to where we were. I still have to find my way around this new report. Okay. So he's definitely overproducing insulin. Bun is a little bit high. Creatinine's a little bit high, kidney stress, but again, it could be the dehydration. No, he's got some kidney stuff. Look how low his GFR is, glomerular filtration rate. His kidneys are struggling. Okay, so, the glomeruli, they're not, you know, I never see these low except in people with kidney disease.
So do you think, what should I suggest that he do? Like go get some kidney testing or?
First of all, I'd start with water.
Uh-huh.
Because
he says he drinks a lot of water, but.
How much?
Right.
How much does he weigh, right? If he's overweight and he weighs 300 pounds, is he drinking at least 150 ounces?
Which right.
Is how many? Like 80, that's like 20. To 15, 18, 20 glasses. I can't do the math in my head off the top of my head, but that's a lot. Most people aren't.
Right.
Right. So I really, really look at that. And whether, you know, it's kidney or what, he needs to be supporting it. The docs aren't going to tell you that there's a problem here.
They're not?
No, because it's above optimum. It's not above the lab range. It's subtle. But it's stress, and you don't want it to get bad.
So what would be some kidney support?
Better lifestyle. You know, if he has a toxic lifestyle, if he's eating crap, if he is stressed out, I don't know. You know, you said he used to take drugs. Does he drink? Does he drink coffee? Okay.
He does drink coffee twice a day, which I'm getting him to go down to one a day.
Yeah. I mean,
he works out really, really hard. Like he does one of those like super hardcore, like workouts.
Okay. I'll be looking at his carb intake. Why is he producing so much insulin? The insulin is going to affect the testosterone. It's going to increase the testosterone actually, but it's going to make it go to DHT versus the the less active DHT is carcinogenic. It's scary. That's one of the reasons I think they flagged prostate. I'd get him a Dutch test.
Okay.
And try, but aromatase inhibitors and reducing the testosterone. I don't think anybody should go on testosterone unless they're thoroughly tested and you know that they're not aromatasing it. And it's very common for having aromatase excess in insulin resistance, right? So it all goes back to addressing insulin resistance. So right. I don't want to see you thinking in terms of what should I do? Yeah, you can have them drink more herbal teas. You can have them drink juniper berry is a good one. You can have them do dandelion, which is good for both liver and kidney, right? Little, you know, tea type things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, probably some milk thistle. Get him some milk thistle and have him grind it up and put it in on his salads and stuff like that. Because it's going to support that detoxification systems, right? You want to support the kidney and the liver to detoxify. Bowel movements wise, is he having good bowel movements every day?
Well, I haven't asked lately, but I think he goes once a day.
Maybe that may or may not be enough. A transit time test would tell you. But if he's got blocked elimination channels, he's not going to be able to get rid of this and the weight's not going to go. If his big concern is weight, then as you're explaining stuff to him, you have to tie everything back to his big why. He wants to lose weight. He may not care if he's toxic. He may not care if his kidneys are stressed. He may not care if his liver is stressed. But what he cares about is the weight. All right.
He cares about all those things.
He cares about those things.
Yeah. And he will. I just know he will, but, he's said he's going to go gung ho and do the 30 days like I'm telling him to do.
Beautiful. So he's going to get the meter and he's going to test.
Yeah. He got the meter and he started testing like yesterday and we're going to go over.
And then go over the, you know, the sugars and the flours and all that and get him on a, does he eat meat?
Yeah, he eats meat.
Get him on a mostly vegetable with small amounts of lean, organic, pastured meat and fish.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Off all the carbs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I looked at his protein powder. It had 9 grams of sugar per serving.
Right, yeah. Simple things like that. Switch them up, right? There's so many good ones now that don't.
So you're not that concerned about the prostate?
No, I am, but I'm concerned. What I'm concerned about is, and I don't know it here because they didn't test the DHT. I'm concerned that he's not aromatasing and that he is got a 5-alpha reductase excess and it's converting his testosterone to DHT. That's where I'm concerned. And I don't know that without seeing that. And that's why I love Dutch. You know, because Dutch will show that. But people, the same pathways, aromatase inhibitors are also usually 5-alpha reductase inhibitors. There's some overlap there.
Okay.
It shows zinc as a super major issue here. And I have to look at why he's seeing that, just because I'm just still looking at this at the beginning. But zinc's super important for prostate health. So you can get him to do some zinc, high zinc-containing foods.
Maybe start it because they mentioned low stomach acid in this as well. And I know that zinc and stomach acid
are huge. Yep.
I wonder how much zinc do you think I should tell them to try?
I would go to 20 to 30 milligrams a day to start. He's big though, right? So probably more like 30 to 50.
And do the liquid?
Yeah, it's best absorbed. If you can get him to do bitters, I mean, it depends on, you know, you got to pick the battles.
That's what I was thinking, bitters before a meal as well.
Yeah. If you can get him to do that, that would be great. Extra zinc, the bitters. Let me look at some of these other numbers. I'm just talking without a lot here.
So the thing said that it looked like he had an iodine deficiency based on his thyroid numbers.
Yeah, let me look. You can't really tell that from the, you know, there. It's just extrapolation. So his TSH is okay. His free T3 is through the roof high. Testosterone does that.
It does.
Testosterone increases the conversion from T4 to T3, but look at the difference. His free T4 is way on the low end of the scale. His free T3 is through the roof. He is over-converting. Mostly we see people who are under-converting T4 to T3. He's over-converting big time, and that's often the testosterone excess.
He has a lot of energy.
Well, sure. Look at his free T3. His cells are going bah, bah, bah.
So, but that's stressful, I guess, for his...
Yeah, and his T4, see how... Yeah, he's over-converting big time. He's got to get the testosterone off. He's got to get off the testosterone. He's got to get a Dutch test and see what he really needs. And you don't take testosterone for weight loss. I mean, it can do that, but that's not a purpose for it. So I think the levels of testosterone he's on are dangerous based on this. It's affecting his prostate. My guess is that there's extra DHT, which is the carcinogenic one. His thyroid is like way over here. He's causing a low T4 and a high T3 because he's over converting and testosterone will do that. Estrogen does the opposite, right? You see under conversion when people are on birth control pills, but the testosterone is huge. His DHEA is low.
It's very low.
Yeah. His testosterone is through the roof. His free.
So do you think is it related to taking the testosterone, having the high DHEA? I mean, the low DHEA?
It could be inhibiting some of the pathways that where the body would be making its own testosterone because he's taking it, which I don't know if that's related.
DHEA. So do you think he should be supplementing with DHEA?
No.
No.
No, because you run the risk of it get converted to testosterone. Maybe he's over-converting DHEA to testosterone. I wouldn't give him DHEA. I just want to see the big picture. I want to see the whole pathway, you know, pregnenolone to progesterone to estrogen. I want to see how all of those fit in to give him some good advice because without it, you know, I don't like to muck with hormones unless I really have the big picture.
Yeah.
I mean, there's somebody like the Dr. Rosensweet who does, he does fine with not testing initially, but he starts with teeny tiny drop doses when he's giving PNE specifically for women.
Yeah. He's been getting injections. Oh. Yeah.
Better than pellets, I guess, because he can stop it at any time. Yeah, that's where I would go. His sex hormone binding globulin is fine. His estradiol is over the top. Yeah, so if we were to look at, I have my picture right here. This is the picture, right?
Oh, it's not, that's the, you're looking at the other camera.
Oh, yeah. I got two screens up, right? This is the picture that you want to be looking at. So he's high in, let's see if I have this one here. He's high in testosterone. He's low in DHEAS, I'm assuming. Yeah, DHEAS. He's high in estradiol, but we don't know about any of the others. So we don't know about his DHT. He's high here, and my guess is that, yeah, it's hard to tell. His aromatase, he's aromatasing, and his sex hormone binding globulin is normal, which is why his free testosterone, estradiol, yeah, he needs a Dutch test. And he needs to get off testosterone. I mean, that's the best thing.
So get off testosterone, do the insulin resistance, work on that.
Do the reset. If you can get him to do the reset and really be strict with it.
And then drink more water and keep an eye on the kidneys. Like
I'd keep an eye on him, you know, just ask him about symptoms. Does he get any pain? Has he ever had kidney stones? How's his urine? Does he have dribble? Does he have urgency? You know, especially since the prostate could be involved. Did they do PSA? Is that why the...
I think it was normal.
MinnesotaTV is a little on the high side, so there may be some B12.
PSA is 0.8.
Okay, yes, that's fine. Your immune system looks pretty. Monocytes, did you recently have? You may have an autoimmune thing going on. It's just slightly high. Could be that he's just recovering from a cold.
Uh-huh.
And all the rest of these are in normal range.
And what is a C-peptide again?
It's a measure of the insulin output from the pancreas. Oh,
okay, so he's producing a ton of insulin.
He's producing a ton of insulin. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, there's so many things that can just get so much better just by addressing the blood sugar and, you know, the basic gut stuff. You know, maybe he has some other stuff. There's no indications of, you know, high basophils or eosinophils in terms of allergy or parasites. But, you know, stomach acid possibly, but his proteins were fine. Let me just look at what the report is saying about why they flagged some of this stuff. Obviously the prostate, let's just see why. They're looking at creatinine being slightly high, monocytes being slightly high. That's not enough. And his PSA is normal. So I don't know why he's saying 100% here. Was the PSA put in here?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say rationale as those, but.
It says it's considered the PSA.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So they're saying, what do you make of this benign prostatic hypertrophy?
I mean, it could be, but I don't see why just because creatinine is marginally high and monocytes are marginally high.
Maybe he had a UTI.
Huh?
Maybe he had a UTI.
Yeah, he could have. I'm not as, the thing that concerns me about the prostate is the fact that we don't know what his DHT is, and with testosterone that high, it could be high. That would be my main concern.
Okay.
So I think these reports are great, but we also have to know. You can't just give this report to somebody who doesn't know anything and go, oh, look at this, all these things that are wrong with this person. No.
That's exactly why I'm here right now.
Yes, exactly. No, I'm not concerned about prostate at this point, except for the unknown, which is DHT and the metabolites. Sex hormone function, yeah, this I agree with. I mean, this is off the charts crazy. Yeah. Totally. And I think it's affecting those thyroid numbers. I think the testosterone is causing an increase in the decrease in the T4 to T3.
And his TSH was not optimal. It was like 2.5 or something, 2.5 or something like that.
Yeah. I'm not concerned about that. I think that the testosterone is causing the thyroid stuff. You can check the thyroid after. Mm-hmm. He didn't do antibodies, so you can always look at that. Right. But at this point, this testosterone stuff is dangerous. I think it's dangerous for him to be taking that much testosterone and having these numbers be so far off. And I feel like you're shooting in the dark because you don't have a Dutch and you don't know what the metabolites are.
Okay. Right?
But I would focus, you don't have to get him a Dutch, focus on talking to the doctor about weaning him off of the testosterone and explain to him the reasoning, right? And yeah. Then getting him on the zinc and the bitters and, you know, at least jump starting, maybe get him on some enzymes or something to help with the gut, but get this insulin stuff under control. I didn't see the insulin. You said it was like, what was the number? I saw the C-peptide, but I didn't see the insulin.
46.1. Yeah, it almost wouldn't let me put it in.
Oh, yes, metabolic reset. Focus him, because you don't want to get him too scattered, right? Focus on basic digestion stuff. Get him on the metabolic reset. Clean up his diet. Do you know what he's eating, drinking?
I mean, he tries to eat really well, but then he'll like eat a container of ice cream or something like he. Yeah.
30-day metabolic reset.
Yeah,
super strict.
That's what we're doing.
Super strict, super strict, because. That's so high. But of course he can't lose weight. How can you lose weight when your insulin fasting is 30? Right? I like to see postprandial less than 15. And he's got fasting at 30.
Could there be another factor other than what he's eating? And the stress and the sleep. And I mean, I guess the whole five things and the fitness.
I would start with that.
Okay.
I would start with that for sure. Whew. That's crazy. That 30. Oh my gosh. That's super high. That's so 50, super
no,
high.
47. No,
47.
46.
Oh, yeah.
46.
I haven't seen anybody with it that high. All right. He can't, of course, he'll never lose weight with insulin that high. You can't. It's an anabolic hormone that stores fat. His growth hormone is probably low. Even though he's exercising like crazy, he's probably not putting on muscle mass. He's turning to testosterone to try to get a muscle mass.
Right.
Right? But that's not the problem. The problem is the insulin. And I think that this testosterone thing is just clouding the issue because he didn't address. He wants to lose weight. He's got to lower insulin. Simple.
Okay. Thank you.
Kind of explain it to him in as simple terms as possible. And if, you know, if he can convince his doctor to let him stop taking the testosterone and just see, get him down to baseline before doing a Dutch, just get him off of all this stuff, get him on the metabolic reset, see how he's feeling. He hasn't dropped a lot of weight. Get him to get a ketone meter.
Yeah, he got one. I got him the Keto Mojo.
Keto Mojo. Right. Get him on that. Let's just see what you can do with that. He may be a slow adapter with that high of an insulin level. It's going to be, yeah. And he's got, see, with hemoglobin A1C of 4.7, you're going to see a lot of peaks and valleys. You may see him go up to 180 and down to 60. Don't be surprised if you see that.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard his fast. I haven't heard any of his numbers yet. So
yeah, he's hyperinsulinemic and insulinemic. So when you see that, remember we talk about the pathway, you know, the progression. He's at that hyperinsulinemic stage. He may not be resistant yet.
Oh, well, that'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But take him through that process. I think you're going to do well with that. Address the little things we talked about with the gut and the zinc. You know, okay. Get him on the supplements. He may not even need chromium. I don't know.
Oh, really?
We need to get the insulin down.
I started him on the chromium already.
See how it goes and see if he's got a lot of valleys. Just kind of get a sense if the chromium is making the valleys lower. Does he complain about hyperglycemia?
Well, he just started. No, mm-hmm. No. So the chromium can make the hypoglycemia worse?
It could if there's not a lot of resistance, because it can drive the insulin into the cells, the sugar into the cells faster. It's not a, like, you know, black or white situation, but I think it.
So I have a question. I've been taking mine and I notice that right after I eat, sometimes I get like a little peak that lasts like 5 or 10 minutes and then it goes back to a solid like 90 or whatever. But,
so
I'm
a peak,
like a little peak sometimes.
High peak.
Well, sometimes just like to 100, but one time after having banana, it was like to 120, but for like 5 minutes. And then it went to 97 for like 5 hours.
Yeah. Have you had your fasting insulin tested?
Yeah, I'm testing. Oh, not insulin. No.
Yeah. Test your fasting insulin. Test your fasting insulin and hemoglobin A1C and see. My guess is that your hemoglobin A1C is going to be on the lower end and your insulin might be a little high, not as high as him. Mm-hmm. I will expect that this guy gets major peaks and valleys.
Okay.
Okay. And he's going to have to test diligently, because if he's producing that much insulin, he may not even see the peaks.
So every 15 minutes?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And maybe they're so short because he's just sitting there. Insulin's just sitting there waiting for sugar. Like, it's just sitting there. 47. Holy cow. Right. It should be 3.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that will come down if he's not eating the wrong foods.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, and the other thing you look at with something like that, if he does a metabolic reset and it doesn't budge, you want to look for a tumor somewhere that's producing extra insulin, an insulin-producing tumor.
Okay. I won't mention that yet.
No. That's just between us. Yeah. But that's something for you to think about when, you know, if it doesn't work. But cortisol too, right? And that's what the Dutch would give you too. So if you get him through the metabolic reset, see where he's at, and then run a Dutch if it's not getting to be the way you want it to go. And see if he's going into ketosis.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
He may need a few day fast if he's open to it.
With like green juices
water.
Or with what?
Water.
Just water. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about intermittent fasting for him?
Yeah, intermittent fasting would be ideal. Anybody that wants to bring down their insulin levels, intermittent fasting is great. And figure out what the best intermittent fasting is for him. For some people, it's skipping the breakfast. For some people, it's skipping dinner.
Right? Okay.
And sometimes it just takes trial and error. They go, I can't skip breakfast. I'm going to die. Okay, have breakfast, have a, 3 o'clock in the afternoon lunch and be done with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's willing to do that.
Yeah. It's just finding that little cog that's going to turn it for him. And, the more you understand the mechanisms that are going on, the better you're going to be able to support. Lynn, did you have something you wanted to add? I keep seeing you nodding your head. I don't know if you're working on something else or.
No, I'm just agreeing with everything. I put a few comments in here. I know Valerie did as well. Valerie said, if he's going to do a Dutch test, would it be good for him to reduce the testosterone before the test? And if so, would he need to taper off the testosterone or can he just stop? And then
something I would have to have him talk to his doc about, because if he's getting injections, it depends on how long he's been doing it. I would love to see him off of this stuff.
Yeah. Right? Me too.
I like to see him off of it, do a metabolic reset, and then do the Dutch after the metabolic reset's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they had warned him that if it didn't come down, they were going to have to take him off of it.
Good. How does he feel about getting off of it?
I think he feels fine. I mean, he wants to do whatever will work and whatever's, worried about himself. He's worried about his health. So,
well, if you have a conversation with him and say, it's your decision with your doctor, but here's what I'm concerned about. And if they're willing and they want to take you off of it, it's probably not a bad idea. Like, just be careful how you word it. Yeah. So okay. Lynn points out alkaline diet, of course. Yep. All that stuff. What else? Valerie. Yeah. So Valerie, and in general, an answer to that question is if somebody's on testosterone, they've been on it for a long time and you're concerned about levels, I would leave them on it and do it. Right. But this is not a long-term thing. They have already warned him that it's too high and they may have to take him off of it. So in this case, I would do the lifestyle interventions and then take him off. But there would be times when you want to keep him on it. Yeah. I don't know that he can just stop. That's up to the endocrinologist to decide. Usually they taper it. They'll go, if this is the dose they're injecting, a week later, they'll go lower and then lower and then lower. And a Freestyle Libre would be great for somebody like this, where we're thinking with that high of an insulin that the ups and downs could be so much that just finger pricking might be frustrating for him and not catching it, but the Libre will give it. Did you get your Libre, Valerie?
Buy one?
No, you need a prescription. Unless
maybe this doctor will give him one.
Yeah. Tell the doctor, look, I'm very concerned about the high insulin levels and I don't want to get diabetes and I want to get one of these meters to see if I can figure out what foods or what activities are shooting my sugars up or causing low. And so I can make informed choices. Can you just prescribe it? Any doctor that doesn't, I lose respect for, because it doesn't cost them anything. They're not going to get dinged by an insurance company for overprescribing because the insurance companies don't pay for it. It's just a matter of, wanting to take care of people from a prevention standpoint rather than, wait till they fall off the cliff. I was telling somebody this story the other day about when I was first in practice, I worked with this. I took some classes with this guy, Mark Percival. He's the very first health coach stuff. He talked about health coaching and he should have trademarked it. He should have done something with it because nobody was using it. Now everybody is. But he had this little book. It's a really cute book I'm going to try to find and bring to Shine with me. But he had this story he tells about how there was this cliff and people kept not knowing that the cliff was there and they'd drive their cars off of it and then you have to rush them to the hospital. And the hospital was far away that some of them didn't make it. and the people were concerned. So they decided that they were going to build a hospital right at the bottom of the cliff so that there wasn't that delay so they could take people in. And then, you know, the wise, you know, as the story progresses, it's like, oh, why don't you just put a fence and big signs at the top so nobody falls off anymore? Duh, right? And this is how I see medicine. That's his whole point, was we're into keeping people from going and falling off the cliff rather than rescuing them when they're at the bottom of the cliff. And keep that in mind. That's what we're about. We don't want them to have a problem. And that's what this thing with the Libres. I wish everybody could have one. You know, just use one for a month and get a real good feel. Because, you know, we catch so many cases of pre-diabetes and pre-diabetes before they become issues. This guy didn't develop a 46 as a fasting insulin overnight, right? Unless he's got an insulin producing tumor somewhere. But I don't want to go there. That's really rare. That's the zebra. We're going to look at the horses, right? We're going to look at the diet, the lifestyle, the exercise, what he's eating, and maybe what he's eating that he's not telling you. Mm-hmm. So if he's willing to say, here's my metabolic reset diet, you follow this to a T for a month, he can make great progress. Along with the other stuff too, right? If he's doing exercise, great. If he's not sleeping, you have to look at that as well. And then his timing. But if you get him to do intermittent fasting, that solves the timing issues. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Yep. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. What? Kim says she got it at Walgreens and they said it didn't require. You got lucky.
Did you How much did they cost?
Kim, come on, they're expensive. The meter thing itself is about $60 or $80. And then the patches are like $35 or $40. Tell me more, Kim. Where were you and how did you do it?
I just walked in there. I'm in Connecticut. And I just went to Walgreens and asked. And I can't remember how much it was. I know the sensors are $44 each and they last 10 days.
Yeah.
But I think it was like around $90 for the reader.
Yeah, but you just walked in and said, hey, I'm looking for the Freestyle Libre. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Then they didn't say, oh, yeah, but where's your prescription?
Yeah. I said, you need a prescription? She said, no.
You even asked if you needed a prescription.
I think I did. I can't remember. My friend was there.
Try it, everybody. Try it. I know that CVS is real like, no, you can't have this unless it's a prescription, right? So try it. Holy cow, that's so cool.
Yeah, I love it too. It's great.
Maybe you can buy a bunch and sell them to everybody in the program.
Yeah, exactly.
No wonder, why is this girl coming in and buying five every day?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to know. Try your local Walgreens. I'm going to try mine and go down to the Walgreens and say, hey, do you have a Freestyle Libre? I want one. Because you can do that in Canada and you can do it in Europe.
So you've tried it there or where have you tried it?
No. It's just that's, you know, people that live there, but I've gone onto the site, right? Uh-huh. And it'll say, yeah, just order it. It doesn't ask for a prescription. Whereas if you order it on any of the sites here in the States, they say this requires a prescription. What's your doctor's name and contact? So the way you can do it is you can order one and then just put your doctor's name on it. That's another way to do it. So you order one off of Edwards Healthcare or one of those other sites. And at the bottom, it says, who's your doctor? And they put your name. You say, oh, my doctor is Dr. Smith. And, you know, you can play dumb and go, I didn't know. They asked me who my doctor was, so I told them. Yeah. Right. And then they'll contact the office. And if the office is just like, oh, they just want approval for this. Okay, boom, we can send it. Anybody in the office, it doesn't even have to be the doctor. Because they can't. That's how it happened for us. And Scott would just go, is this another one that's this person okay? You know, and I can only do it for people within my state because, you know, that's where my license is. I don't know if I could get in a lot of trouble if I started ordering them for people around the country. I don't know. I just don't want to risk losing my license. So
I have a blood sugar horror story really quick. A client of mine has liver cancer and he was on this immunotherapy and there was a 1 in 10,000 chance of getting, basically his glucose went to 1200.
Oh.
And he went into a diabetic coma and died for a minute. And they brought him back and he's in the hospital now.
Oh.
It's so horrible. And now he's diabetic.
Oh, well, luckily he came back because most of them don't.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So he's asking me to cook for him, and I'm just going to do – because he has a sore throat.
Food. Yeah.
Just, like, vegetables and meat, I guess, like bone broth.
Yeah, mostly vegetables. You can do a really nice ketogenic diet with vegetables and good plant fats, avocado and coconut and things like that. Wow. Woo! Yeah. That's scary. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Let's see. So sensors on the shelf. Wow. Whoa-hoo. Bring some to shine, Len Rose. You can sell them there. Isabel, in Europe, I'm in Germany. So look for one. The thing about it, if you buy it in Canada or Germany, it's on the SI units. So you just have to convert. It's no big deal. You're used to 100. You're going to see 5.7 and you just plug it in. And after a while, you'll figure it out. I actually keep my little converter on my phone because if people ask me. Cool. Yeah, so anybody else? All right.
Hello.
Any other questions or comments? Yeah, who is it? Isabel?
This is Isabel.
Hey, and you're still in Europe, eh?
I am.
Oh, cool. Very yeah, cool. Well, nice. We're honored that you showed up.
Yeah, I have a question about my ERC client.
Yeah.
Yeah, Claudia. So she didn't get a chance to get on the lab call, I guess, a week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I want to get some of your opinions on her lab. So basically, she has low iron and high homocysteine and a few other things. So I don't know if you can pull up her master tracker.
I can try.
Okay. Or I could share my screen. It's not very big.
Let me see. Yeah, why don't you share your screen? Because mine has been every time I try to open something, I have to reboot my computer. So
okay. That's not good. Okay. Let me share my. Okay. So.
And she has a lab call with me. So she just needs to schedule it.
Yeah, I told her that she's getting her Dutch done. Said I recommend that she get her Dutch test before.
Yeah, but she'll have both because she'll get a call with me to go over the Dutch separately.
Oh, she does. Okay, yeah. Okay. In that case, okay. That's
yeah,
good.
So she gets to. All right, let me make this bigger. Let's see.
Okay.
All right, so. Okay, so you're going to show me the lab?
Yeah. So, okay, so I make notes here. The findings.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see you wrote it in here. Stress from work and family. What's the blood sugar and vitamin C contradiction?
She mentioned something about that because I've talked to her about maybe optimizing vitamin C, and she mentioned...
Oh yeah, it's not that it raises blood sugar. It's that it messes with the meter if you have a Freestyle Libre. There might be a couple of others that use a specific way of measuring that I found out the hard way for myself. I'm like, why is my blood sugar so high on this thing? It's like suddenly going up. And then I tested it with two different regular meters, and it was fine. And then I started researching and found that with the Freestyle meter, Freestyle Libre. You'll get a false high reading.
If you take vitamin C?
With high levels. And I don't know what the doses are. Nobody's really, I did vitamin C, like, I think I had taken 4 grams and mine shot up. Yesterday I took 1 gram and it didn't seem to do anything. Okay. So I don't know what it is. Low iron and ferrit and thyroid markers within optimal. We'll see what those look like. High potassium, high calcium, low globulin, low iron, low ferrit, and both of them are low. So if both of them are low, that's consistent with iron anemia, iron deficiency anemia.
Okay. She has high MCHC and high, a little bit high red blood cell, but okay.
Yeah. So and her hemoglobin, what's her hemoglobin? Yeah, let's look at it. Let me look at it.
Let me go there.
There it is. Yeah. Okay. All right. So she doesn't have insulin. Let's go up all the way to the top and I'll just look at it from the start. All right. So glucose was high. Holy cow.
That's the day that she did it. Usually it's not this high. She was in the middle of rolling out her course. I think it's a lot of stress going on. Yeah.
So let's see what
else. Another thing with her glucose is 3 to 4 hours after waking, her glucose is in the mid-90s. So we couldn't figure it out.
What is it when she wakes up?
It's sometimes in low 90s. Sometimes she could get it down to like 85.
And that's 3 to 4 hours after she wakes up without having eaten anything?
Coffee. I think she has a little coffee. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going on that. What was that yellow? Go up a little bit. Bun is low. Okay. So I'm starting to think low stomach acid, malabsorption, bun is low. Mm-hmm. Let's see what some other numbers that might correlate with that. Okay, stop. Potassium. High potassium is often an adrenal. If it's potassium and sodium, her sodium is borderline high. I'm just thinking it could be potassium that she's taking potassium and you want to always check that. It could be an adrenal thing. So keep going. Calcium's a little on the high side. You know, I always want to, you know, rule out parathyroid. Keep going. Protein's great. Globulin is on the low side. Yeah. So, and what was the albumin? That should be right above that. Albumin and, well, yeah. So there might be a little bit of stomach acid stuff going on.
Okay.
Globulin is low. Oftentimes, globulin is low.
Doing a HCL challenge.
Okay. Keep going. Okay, AG ratio is low. Keep going. Did you run these through the software?
Yes.
Okay. So liver enzymes a little high.
It's better than her last year's test.
Oh, I see. I'm looking at the wrong one. You've got them in the reverse order. Okay. Yeah. So it's good. That's fine. Keep going. GGT is low. No, wait. Go. What was the GGT? Oh, that was fine. It was just the iron that I saw. So the iron is 73. Okay, so it's low. Okay. Cholesterol's perfect. Keep going.
Is there a concern with too low triglyceride? Because in the software, if the CAMP software, it's indicated as too low.
There's differing opinions about that, and I think 50. If it's below 50, I want to understand why, but 55 is perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially she just went through.
The lipid stuff looks fine. Let's see. The thyroid is fine. Okay, keep going with the thyroid. Those numbers look fine. Free T3 was good. Her thyroid looks perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, keep going. Was there antibodies? Yeah, perfect thyroid function. Yay, okay.
That was good.
Yeah. So white blood cell count, red blood cells count's a little high. So, okay, keep going. I think about it's just borderline above the ideal. So, when I'll think about dehydration, if there's other signs of it, and if there's other signs of thickening, but it's too low to start thinking like, you know, polycythemia or anything like that. Sometimes it's just a little. Let me see what the other numbers look like.
Okay.
Hemoglobin is perfect. Hematocrit is perfect. MCV is, what was the MCV? Let me see. 89. Okay, yeah, these numbers are fine. This is a calculated number, and I don't even pay attention to it, so don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
HC. RDW is fine. Yeah. So I think the low iron and the low ferritin, I'm not concerned about because it's not functionally showing up as off, right? Her hemoglobin's perfect. Her RBC size, everything looks good.
She used to have to supplement when she was, still having her period because she was anemic. But now that she is...
Yeah, and I don't like to supplement for iron in postmenopausal women unless we have to. You know, you can have her take Yellowdoc periodically if you wanted to, but I mean, functionally, the blood cell counts look good. The monocytes are a little high. Could be she was just recovering something. Did she have a cold, a flu, a, you know, some sort of irritation? Or if there is a chronic low grade, but everything else looks pretty good. Keep going. Let's see. Yeah, everything else looks good. Homocysteine's high.
Yeah.
And we'd want to look at her genetics to see if she has that. It may be that she needs some extra folate, methylfolate, or B12.
Okay. So she did her 23andMe and asked her to pull out the raw data.
Yeah, pull out the raw data and run the reports. I just ran a new report. I'm going to evaluate it and let you guys know and let you guys know it shine, actually. A report, there's a book, and I'll write it about it in the newsletter tomorrow. You'll see it. But it has a different report, and it gives it a really nice breakdown of the categories where things are. So I'll let you know about that. But it will make it easier for us to explain things to people if this report is as good as it looks. CRP is great. I would be looking at her B12, folate, B6 steps.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. She's pretty straightforward.
She's
really, you know, she's just got a few things to, her ferritin is low. I would watch, I'd take a wait and see approach with that. You know, support her in, you know, in terms of eating lots of greens and, you know, eating good, making sure she continues to have lots of good iron in her system. It's low, but it may be her norm. Right? It's functionally what we see. And it's not just that her hemoglobin's fine and all those numbers are fine, but also the RDW is fine. Right? So anyway, but the homocysteine, it could be B6 even. So any one of those I would look at.
So I have recommended her to switch to a liquid form of B vitamins. So maybe more better absorption. And we talked about
this needs also, this is the big, the D. Yeah. The D is the biggie, and you know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's it. She's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, you know, if you want to support her on the iron end, you know, I look at just more in the way of greens and, yeah, I don't see much else with that. I just took a wait and see to make sure it doesn't go down because those other numbers were pretty ideal.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I have recommended for her.
Improved digestion, improve liver health, take HCL challenge. HCL challenge or just have her do bitters. Find root cause. Yeah. The glucose spike. I would say, okay. I know Claudia. Right? I met her personally. Mm-hmm. Claudia is a little high strung, right? I would guess that the glucose spikes have to do with stress. Mm-hmm. If you can get her consistently, like I've talked to her and I go, yeah, let's just do some breathing. And she's one of the ones that go, and then what happened, right? They don't even finish that's how she is. So the more you can work with her on reducing the stress and the impact of the stress on her body, maybe tapping, whatever she might be into, but she is she's hypervigilant. It'd be curious to see her stuff in her dot, not her Dutch so much, but the other, anyway, the 23andMe.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Okay. Yep. It's good. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. Good. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Okay, so unshare your screen, and I'm gonna call this an end because that's. Look, can you unshare? Just click stop share. There we go.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, exit full screen. IV vitamin C probably will do it too. Yeah. Just do some Google searches on Freestyle Libre vitamin C and see what it says. you'll see if it differentiates. All right. All right, everybody. So if it's some of you that are coming to Shine, we have a call tonight for the getting ready, getting prepared for it. And I want to take a look at that new report and see if there's something in there that I can share on this call today, because that may be something I want people to consider getting. It's an extra $30, but you know, the more you learn about the various tests, you'll figure out in a particular case what one you want to do. So I'm going to do that tonight. And then for those of you who are coming to Shine, I look forward to seeing you in a week. And for those of you who are not, boo-hoo, but hopefully you'll get on the live stream and you can be with us in spirit and say hi via the live stream. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to open your lines up so you can say goodbye. I can hear your voices. Unmute. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you soon.
You didn't unmute everybody.
I didn't. I said unmute. Let me see. Where'd everybody go? Let me see.
There we go.
Were you still? Nope. Everybody's unmuted except Valerie. But sometimes I can't unmute people. Like I can't unmute Valerie. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't hear her. I said Kim was talking. Oh, well. Thanks for that insight on the Libre, Kim. Yeah. We'll see if we can find some.
Well, maybe I'll go over there again and see if I can, you know. It works. I don't know. Maybe I can't get any more sensors. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But do you need the prescription to buy the sensors as well?
Yeah.
Each time?
Each. Well, you know, you can write, like when I wrote a prescription, I wrote refills for a year.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it's like any other prescription. If they say just one, then you can't get it. You have to have another prescription. But if I say refills for a year, we can just use the same prescription and they'll have it on file.
Or Walgreens, because I know I saw them on the shelf, but I don't know.
Oh, wow. Just innocently take one up and go to the front desk. The cashier probably doesn't know. So don't ask anybody. Just buy it.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Let me know. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.